Smiling face in the house of the Lord this morning. What a joy it is to be here to worship with you today in the house of God. We love you. We appreciate you. You're a blessing to us. Just pray that God will richly bless you, give you that which you need to get through this coming week that you're about to go through. Amen. And that others might see Jesus in us. Amen. Good to have a visitor with us today that's visiting with Miss Gidget and her family. It's a joy to have you with us today. Just praise God for you and pray He'll bless you for having come this way. Now let me say this before we begin preaching. Brother Cotrer will be speaking to the church tonight. He's going to inform us about what's going on with the church in Russia and all of the prospects and hopes that he has over there in that work. And so you be here with us. He'll also break the word of the Lord for us. So you make an effort to come back tonight, amen, and be here and hear what's going on. Now listen, the money you give to this church doesn't sit idle. We put it into use. We support missions, and you need to know what's going on because this is your investment. You may be part of some type of investment program where you work, or you may do it independently. You're doing it because you look for a reward to come back to you one day. It may be in retirement, amen. Many of us are part of retirement programs. What you give to this church is your investments in eternal things, amen. Things that will bring an eternal reward one day whenever you stand before God, amen. So you come tonight and be blessed by Brother Cotrer. It's so good to have him back with us. I'm so glad that God gave him a safe and a prosperous journey. We love him and his wife and family and just thank the Lord for them. So you remember that, amen. It's only about a month to revival. Matter of fact, today is the 30th. Our revival begins the 28th of September. Make plans now to put everything aside, amen, and be here each night as Brother Don teaches the whole week on the church, amen. You want to know what church is about? Then be here. You want to know why you ought to be a part of the church? Then be here, amen. You want to know what God thinks about the church, what He's done for the church, what He has planned for the future in the church? Then amen, you be here. I'm telling you, it'll be the most important revival that we've had thus far, and many things hinge upon this meeting of this coming month. And so I plead with you to be committed that week to be here in the church house with the people of God, that God might be able, amen, to touch you and to call you and maybe commission you, amen, to do what God's divine plan is for your life. Praise God. So good to have you with us. Will you open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter number 9. You'll find Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, and then the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 9. Now, we've been preaching about winning. We began last Sunday, and we preached a message we entitled, Preparing to Win. Preparing to be a winner. 1 John chapter 5, the first five verses tells us, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, amen. In other words, if there's no faith in God, then there is no victory in the godly life, amen. And this morning we're going to continue that thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and preach to you about playing to win. Let me ask you a question. Are you playing to win? Now there's different types of people. There's some people that just play. Then there's some people that do win. And there's some people that play to win. Where do you fall in this? Amen? Amen. And then, God willing, the next time we meet, I'm going to preach about the proof of winning. Amen? Now, I want to tell you something. You know this morning whether or not you're a winner, whether or not you're victorious as a Christian this morning. Nobody else may know it. You can put on a face, you can put on a front, and you can fool folks. But I want to tell you something. Amen? Eventually, everybody knows it. Huh? Eventually, everybody knows it. Isn't that the truth? I mean, Mike Ditka can talk all he wants about the New Orleans Saints, but we know this morning they're basically losers. Isn't that right? Amen. Amen. That's right. Why? Because they proved it too many times over and over. And if you're a Saints fan, I don't want to hurt your feelings. We're just talking truth this morning. That's what we need to talk about in the house of God. And I want to ask you this morning, are you playing to win? For there are different types of people. People go down to the casinos down here, since we live in casino land, and they have different attitudes, and I realize that as I talk to people. Many people go down there with the hope of winning. They want to be winners, amen. Everybody likes to be a winner, especially when it would come to a dollar. But then I've met some people that go down there that have the mind of a loser. They'll say, well, now, I can afford to lose $20, $40, $50, and now I put that in my pocket, and that's what I go down there to lose. And I say, well, you're a loser already. Because you're not going down there to win. You know when you go down there that the whole probability is you're going to lose. Why don't you just give that money? Somebody could use it instead of wasting it. Amen? So you have those with the mentality that play to win. They have hopes of winning and aspirations of winning, and they prepare for that win. Amen? Then you have some that, my friend, they play to lose. Now, someone has said it's not whether you win or lose, but it's how you play the game. But I've got news for you this morning. What determines whether you win or lose in life, neighbor, depends on how you play the game. And so if you go in with attitude to play the game as it ought to be played, then, neighbor, you're going to come out a winner. Now, we're talking about spiritual things this morning. And the Apostle Paul used athletic truths in the Bible. Did you know that? To illustrate to the people of God spiritual truth. Jesus did that many times in what we call parables. He used things that were everyday common known truths and realities to demonstrate heavenly truths. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 is dealing with accusations against his apostleship. Now I want to tell you something right now. If you're going to preach the Word of God, somebody's going to have something to say about you. Somebody's going to challenge you. Somebody's going to question you. Somebody's going to slander you. If you're going to live for God, I won't tell you, somebody's going to talk about you. Somebody's going to criticize you. So the best thing you can do is make up your mind that you don't care what people say or what they think. What's important to you is what God says or what God thinks. Amen. And so the Apostle Paul, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and he had the biggest problem with this church at Corinth, by the way. I'm not fond of this crowd. I'm glad God gave us this book. But in the first book that he wrote, and in 2 Corinthians, he's having to defend himself to the very people that got saved through his ministry. And I want to tell you, that's a shame. That's a shame when people who come to know God through your ministry later begin to question you and the validity of God using you. And that's what they were saying. I don't believe God is using Paul, and I don't think that he qualifies as an apostle. And Paul literally does this. He puts his finger in their face and says, well, then how did you get saved? And he's dealing with that here, and he's going to surmise this chapter at the end by saying this, listen, I know what I'm about. I know who I'm about. And I'm not concerned about all of these things because I know I'm playing to win. I'm not in this thing to put on a show, he's saying. I'm not in this thing to make a living. He defends the fact in here that sometimes he worked to make his living and sometimes he was supported by churches when he went on a missionary journey. Let me tell you something. You know how Brother Cotrera goes to Russia and does the work that he does over there and how that church got started? Because people of God were concerned enough to support that man. He couldn't work in a 40-hour week job or more and then take time to fly to Russia and spend his money. Number one, he wouldn't have it. Number two, it wouldn't be right. Huh? And so everything that he does, he has to defend before the people that got saved due to his ministry. Now, ain't that a shame? He says, listen, I ain't got time to debate and argue about this stuff. I know what I'm about. I'm playing to win. Now, what are you doing this morning? What is your destination, amen? What is your goal in life? Now, nobody runs a race. Nobody goes to war with the thought that they want to come in third or come in second, amen. They enter a race or a competition, amen, with the idea that they are going to come in number one, that they are going to finish first, amen. Now, let me ask you something. What's your goal today as far as your Christian experience? What is your goal today as a child of God? You've got many goals in life today. It may be financial security. It may be having a happy retirement. It may be getting your kids through college so that maybe they can have a better life than you. Amen. I don't know what your goal is, and you may have many, but have you ever stopped to think about your spiritual life as a Christian and ask yourself, what am I doing here? How did I get here? And now that I am here, where did I go from here? Amen. Are you happy just being a little bit Christian? Or would you like to go the whole route? Amen. Well, I want to tell you, Paul said this, I'm sold out. I've deserted everything that's valuable to me in the past, and I've dedicated myself to God. And I want you to understand that when you do that, he says, you are a winner. Verse number 24, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain the prize. And every man that striveth or worketh for the mastery, or to come in number one, is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible one. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I. And that word fight there is literally the word for a boxer. Not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Isn't it interesting here that Paul uses an athletic illustration to the very people who became the originators, if you will, of the Olympic Games? Now, Corinth was a city in Greece. And the Olympic Games found their beginning in the land of Greece. He says, listen, I want to talk to you folks and illustrate some truths through you. You don't seem to be getting the spiritual reality. So I'm going to talk to you about some things you do understand. I'm going to talk to you about racing, and I'm going to talk to you about fighting. Amen. I'm going to talk to you about running, and I'm going to talk to you about boxing. And he's going to tell them the key to his success as a missionary, the key to his motivation, and that what keeps him going and doing what he does. And he's simply saying it this way, I play to win. I play to win. Amen. Praise God. Now I want to ask you, are you playing to win? Now if you're playing, going to play to win, there are going to be some things that you need, amen. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. We talked about preparing to win. Now, since we've prepared by faith, then let's start playing to win. How are we going to do that? Number one, if you're going to play to win, you are going to have to be determined. You're going to have to be determined. Verse number 24, he said, know ye not that they which run in the race run all, but one receiveth the prize. Now look at this. So run. He's saying, so you run. Not aimlessly. Not without goal or intent. But he said, run that you may obtain. Now what's he talking about obtaining? What does a runner in the Olympic Games run for? Huh? He runs because his hope is to attain a gold medal. Isn't that the truth? He says, listen, don't just get out here and run, but run like you are a winner. Now the Bible sometimes compares the Christian life to a pilgrimage. Hebrews 11. The Bible compares the Christian life to a walk. And the Bible here compares the Christian life to a race. And so neighbor, if we're going to be a winner in a physical race, we first of all got to be determined, amen, and make up our minds what we're going to do. Now, I want to tell you what you're going to do in your physical life and you're going to do in your spiritual life. Number one, you're going to do what you want to. Isn't that right? In all aspects of life, The number one motivation in your experience is going to be you're going to do something because you want to. The number two motivation is you're going to do something because you have to. Huh? Amen. Now I want to tell you something. I've got a job. Most of you got jobs. Amen. And tomorrow you're going to work. Some of us are going to go because we want to, but most of us are going to go because we have to. Why? Because we like to eat. We like to drive our cars. We like to wear our clothes. So neighbor, we may be kind of tired of our job and it may be very aggravating, and if we had our choice of not going and did what we want to, well, we'd just stay at the house tomorrow and sleep in. But neighbor, it's not a choice. Why? Because there's some things in life you have to do. Amen. And so you know what? You make up your mind. Listen, I don't want to go to work tomorrow. I know what I'm looking at, what I'm facing, and I'm really not feeling that well to face up to it, but I know I've got to go. So you've already made up your mind. Tomorrow morning, whatever time this clock goes off, you're getting up, you're getting in the shower, and you're going to work. Why? You're determined. You've already made up your mind that that's just the way that it is. Neighbor, why don't we do that as Christians? Why don't we make up our minds, neighbor, that we are not going to play games with God, but we're going to play to win, and we are going to make up our minds that we're going to serve God, we're going to live for God, and we're going to do the best that we can in this life, because life is very, very short, amen. Most people, amen, they joined the church, they walked down an aisle, but they've never come to the place to make up their mind that they're going to live for God and they're going to serve God, amen. Now, he said this, you need to be determined for three reasons. Number one, you need to make up your mind, be determined, because this is a competition. There is competition. Did he not say there, those that run in the race run all? Huh? Now, I know that many times in a race, you're running against two things. Number one, you're running against the clock. Huh? They keep track of all these Olympic records, amen. You know how they keep track of them, what the basis of it is? The time. So-and-so ran the 100-yard dash in a certain amount of time. And you set an Olympic record whenever you break that time. Huh? There's competition against the clock, number two. There's competitions against others. Most of those races you watch, there's not one man out there running by himself, there's somebody out there running with him. I want to tell you something, neighbor, we're running a race against the clock. Amen. I got saved when I was 23 years old. This December, I'll be 50 years old. I'm running against the clock. My days are running out, neighbor. If I'm going to do anything for God, I got to do it now. And it's tough. Amen. I want to tell you something. You've only got so many days to live, and none of us know how long it is, because some of us will die a natural death, some will not. Amen. I want to tell you, you're running against the clock in this life. You're going to do something for God? People say, well, when I get so old and I don't have any more fun in life, then I'll serve God. Neighbor, if you can't serve God while you're healthy, you will not serve Him when the pain gets so bad it's hard for you to get out of the chair. Amen. You're running against the clock, but you're running against competitors. And in order to win, amen, you've got to beat the competitors. I want to tell you something, neighbor. There are some people in this world that you're competing against, amen, that want to keep you from obtaining the crown, from getting the prize. Amen. Me and my dad have always been boxing fans, and many a time I've seen them interview fighters before fight, and this fellow will have the belt, and he'll be talking bad about the other man and what he's going to do to him, and they say, why? He said, because he wants my belt. He wants what I've got. He wants to take it from me, amen, in competition. So I'm going to do everything that I can to keep him from taking it. I want to tell you, neighbor, there's a devil in this world that hates you. Amen. And he'll do everything that he can. Once you get saved, he can't touch your soul. Amen. He can't take the eternal life that God's given you. But I want to tell you, he'll take the joy of it away from you if you'll just give him opportunity. And you better make up your mind and understand that there are those that are running in this spiritual race, neighbor, that are competing against you because they want to take away from you the crown and the trophy and the joy that God's got for you. Amen. You need to be determined because this is a competition. You need to be determined because there's compensation. Huh? What did he say there? He said they're running in a race, but listen what he said. He said, but one receiveth the prize. Now, he's not saying here that only one person in this world is going to get a reward when he gets to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's just simply comparing the truth of that race to this, that the only people that receive the reward of that race are those that win the race. Amen. God saved you by His grace, the gift of God. You don't have to work for it, amen. You don't have to pay for it. It's the gift of God because Jesus died on the cross and provided it for you and me. It is a free, absolute gift. But I want to tell you something, neighbor. God's got a reward for those that live for Him and love Him after they get saved, amen. There's more to being a Christian than just sitting back idly and saying, hey, I'm going to heaven one day, amen. I don't know what's up there, but the main thing about it is I'm not going to hell, and that's all. That's the peak of their spirituality. What's he saying? You need to be determined because there's competition. You need to be determined to live for God and do what He wants you to do because there is a reward. Praise God. I want to tell you something. God's got something for you. And who's it for? It's for the winner. So if it's for the winner, then maybe you and I should be playing to win. Don't you agree? You need to be determined because there's competition, because there's compensation, but also because there's compulsion. You know, I don't understand why anybody want to run. I've said that many times at work. We have an exercise program, and I said the only reason I know that anybody ought to want to run is because something is chasing them that's bigger and badder than they are. If it ain't bigger and badder, let's stop and use our energy fighting, not running, amen. Isn't that right? But you know there's some people that just like to run. Ann cleans a lady's house. And neighbor, she'll run up to 6 miles on the weekend. You'll see her going down Shaw Road and coming back. And there ain't nothing chasing her. Toby's not behind. There ain't nothing there. Now, I don't understand why you just run for absolutely no reason, but they are compelled to run, amen. There's something that motivates them, amen, that makes them just get on and get out and run, amen. Well, you know, there's just something about being a child of God in this spiritual race that compels us to run, amen. That's right. Amen. I want to tell you, the love of God's been shed abroad in our heart. The Spirit of God dwells within us. And I want to tell you, the Bible says we have an unction from the Holy One. And I want to tell you, that's the great motivator. That's the great compeller that makes us want to get out there and run. Amen. A runner doesn't just run because there is a prize, but he runs because he likes to. Amen. You don't know when you're going to live for God like you ought to when you start enjoying it. And you'll never do that until you get determined that come hell nor high water, I'm going to do the right thing. Amen. And when you do that, then that's when you'll be a winner. He said you need to be determined. Then he said you need to be dedicated in verse 25. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. What is he saying? It takes more than a desire to win. Amen. I mean, it'd be easy to sit back and say, hey, preacher, I'd like to win. Well, neighbor, if you want to win, it's going to take more than just a desire to win. It's going to take you dedicating yourself to the win. And that's the way that it is with an athlete. Good intentions is not enough, amen. Highway to hell is paved with good intentions, amen. That's right. It takes dedication to the task that lies ahead. If you're going to be a winner in the Christian life and in the spiritual race that we're in, the neighbor, you're going to have to be dedicated when it comes to your time. We live in a busy world. Huh? I've told this church many times they need them a full-time preacher, somebody that doesn't have to work a job. It takes time. I don't have time for everything. The most important thing to me is that which I get to do the least, and that's to spend time with God. Now, I'm slow, so it takes a long time for me. Some of you don't take so long, but it takes a long time for me. But I want to tell you, if we're going to be winners, we've got to dedicate the time that it takes to be a winner. Huh? Do you think for one moment that a runner can say, okay, I'm going to be in the marathon. So every Saturday, I'm going to get out here and I'm going to run for about 20 minutes. I want to tell you, he's not going to make it easy. Why? He's not dedicating the time that it takes to get his body in shape to endure a marathon that's going to last miles or kilometers or whatever they want to call them. Isn't that right? Listen, it's the same way with the spiritual life and the race that we're in. Neighbor, if you're going to be a winner, you're going to have to understand, you're going to have to dedicate some of your time. You're going to have to dedicate some of your time to the Word of God. You're going to have to dedicate some of your time to prayer. You're going to have to dedicate some of your time to the church. This doesn't just happen. Somebody has to dedicate their time. Some ladies dedicate their time to cleaning the church. Some dedicate their time to cutting the grass. Others dedicate their time to other aspects of the church. But neighbor, if we're going to be a winner, we certainly have to dedicate some of our time to do our part to be in the house of God. Amen. I don't believe in running around hopping, hipping, hopping from church to church. All you're looking for is something to tickle you and satisfy your own means if you do that. And if everybody did that, there would not be a church to hip and hopping around about because nobody would be taking the time to be dedicated to the church. Listen, I want to tell you, you ought to be dedicated to this church if you're a part of it. Amen. Amen. You ought to be dedicated to it. And the world knows what goes on here by looking and seeing how folks are dedicated to it. If they look out here in the parking lot and there's only a couple of cars, they say, well, them people's not very dedicated. Amen. If nobody's out there cutting the grass but one guy, people drive by and say, well, that people ain't very dedicated. Huh? Amen. I'm not concerned about what folks think in this world. I'm just telling you that if we are going to be winners, we've got to be determined and we have got to be dedicated. And the first thing you've got to make up your mind about is, I'm going to give enough time to God and His work to see that it is done. Amen. Amen. We're only having one revival this year. I'd like to have more. You ought to dedicate enough time to be here. We usually don't sing but two songs, and I turned over to Brother Don to preach so that we can be out of here by 8 o'clock or a little bit after because I know folks got to work and know folks got to go to school. Now, I lost half of this church over that. And I'm not ashamed to say it. But I don't give the man that's driven all this way to be with me time to preach and not listen to a bunch of singers. Entertain me. I like singing much as the left, but we'll do that at the end. Let's get the preaching going. People got to go home and go to work the next day, and I think that's just being courteous. But you make mad people mad about everything in this world if they're not sold out to God. Amen. You're going to have to take some time and dedicate yourself to it. Then you're going to have to dedicate yourself to the training. Oh, man. That involves that running we were talking about. Amen. If a man's going to run a race and he's got his mind made up to win the prize, the crown, then neighbor, he's going to have to dedicate himself to the training. If he's going to be running a 5-kilometer race, he's going to have to get out here day after day after day and run a 5-kilometer race because he's got to build his muscles up. He's got to build his heart and his lungs up so that he will not only have the speed, but he'll have the endurance to finish the race. Amen. A sprinter cannot run a long distance race. Why? His lungs and heart can't endure it because he hadn't trained himself for it. Amen. Listen, you'll never be a winner for God. You'll never be a winner in the spiritual warfare of life if you haven't taken the time to train your spiritual body. Amen. And so, you know what? Whenever we begin to train, you know what a crucial part of the training program is? No matter what the sport, your diet. What you eat. Amen.
That's right.
Hey. That's right. So I'm going to tell you something. Most of our bodies reflects what we eat. I know that's not entirely true. I'm able to wear loose clothing and stuff to cover up a lot of mine. Can't cover up his head, so some things are self-evident. But the point I'm making is, healthy bodies normally reflect a healthy diet. So it is with the spiritual. And I'm not saying if you're sick, it's not because you're not eating right. Please understand what I'm trying to tell you. That if we're going to be healthy as a Christian, in our training program, a proper diet's what's going to have to be a part of it. Amen. And so what I'm saying is you cannot fill up and eat on the carnal, physical things of this world and be in shape to run a race for God. Won't work, will it? Huh? You're going to have to fill up on spiritual things. The Word of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's why you ought to be a part of a church. Say, preacher, I don't have a lot of time to read the Bible throughout the week. You need to make a little bit of time then, what you got, because you can find the time to do a little bit, amen. Yes, you can. Number two, you need to make up your mind, be determined, you're going to be in church when it's time to be in church, amen. Now, I know that I could preach for hours, and that's why I cut my messages in half. I preach half on the Sunday morning, I preach the other half on Sunday night, because people can sit and watch the Ten Commandments or the Godfather that lasts 4 hours without ever even getting up and going to the bathroom, but if you preach over 30 minutes, people have a bladder explosion.
Amen.
And they feel like they're going to starve to death. I know that. So I try to be courteous and I try to cut the messages in half. But neighbor, nobody rushes you to get up from the dinner table, do they? I want to tell you something. You try to rush somebody to the fire department from the dinner table, you're liable to get a bloody nose. Because firemen like to eat. They spend time cooking all that food, and they sit out and they enjoy it. They talk over it. They fellowship around it. You know what church is about? It's about giving you a proper diet, and it's about fellowshipping with those that you're eating with. Amen. That's it. Amen. I tell you, you need to look at this book. You got to do it. Come early for church. Somebody's always here early to turn the air on anything. Sit down and look through this before God. It'll impress you. It'll do something for you, amen. You need to do that. You need to be determined. You need to be dedicated. If you're going to do that, it's going to have to dedicate some of your time. You're going to have to be dedicated to the training program, amen. Then you're going to have to be dedicated to the trophy. You know what that runner's got his eye on the whole time that he's a running? That trophy. That crown. Now what did the Bible say there about that Olympic runner? He's running for a corruptible crown. What does that mean? He's running. He spent all this determination and dedication and time for something that's not going to last. You know what the winner in the Olympic race got in those days? They got a wreath that was made out of pine that was gathered from the mountains. And they would take that pine wreath and put that upon that winner's head. And there he stood as the victor. But you know well as I do, before long, the pine began to turn brown. It lost its greenness. It lost its life. And it just began to crumble. Now I want to tell you, that's the way life is. If I live to be 65, 70 years old, I've got a house, thank God, and I've got property, thank God, and I've got possessions, thank God. But you know what? When they wheel me before this church or some funeral home or wherever, God knows I'll be at that time. There won't be one stick of furniture. There won't be no steering wheel. There won't be anything in there except me. And you know what? If you live long enough, termites going to eat your house. Hurricane may blow it away. What am I saying? The things that you are dedicating your life to now, and they're good, are basically going to blow away. They're going to deteriorate. They're going to rot. And if they don't, in time, you're going to leave them for somebody else. Isn't that true? Isn't that true? So he's saying you need to be dedicated if you're going to run this Christian race. Now I want to share one verse and I'll quit. I've got two other points, but I'll quit. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 uses this same analogy of a Christian to a runner. Hebrews 12, verse 1, the Bible says this. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, look, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, I want you to notice two things he said about running this race. He said there's some things we got to put off. That's what he said. He said, number one, let's lay aside the sin. Now listen, sin will hinder you in any kind of race, whether it's spiritual or physical. Huh? That's right. Do you know that, and I can't be specific, but I can tell you this. I have watched athletic events where that their coaches and their handlers said, listen, for the last week before the race, you don't go out on the town and you don't run with any women. That's right. Why? It's going to perfect your performance in the race. Here's what he's saying. Listen, if you're going to run a spiritual race, then the most contrary and opposing thing to a spiritual race is sin in the life of the child of God. So if you're going to run that race and be a winner, you've got to deal with your sin. You've got to get rid of that sin. You've got to confess that sin and repent of that sin, and it'll make you a stronger individual. Amen. Then he said we've got to lay aside every weight. Now, there's a difference between weight and sin. Now, what runner would enter a race and put around him a diver's weight belt? A diver wears a weight belt that carries him to the bottom of the water because the human body is prone to float in due time. Amen. Nobody would do that. Why? That would be a handicap. That would be a hindrance to them winning that race. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? And so we say, listen, number one, we need to get rid of the sin in our life that hinders us from winning the race. Number two, we need to get rid of the weights in our life that slow us down. Now listen, these weights can be good things. And that's what we've got to realize. They can be good things. Amen. Bernard likes to fish. Brother Troy likes to hunt. He likes to fish too. There's nothing wrong with fishing. There's nothing wrong with hunting. But if those two things keep them from serving God and doing what they ought to do, they have become a weight in their lives. Huh? That's a weight. It is anything in your life that may be all right in and of itself and that you can do and enjoy, but you have allowed that to come between you and God and hinder you. Work can be the same way. It can be the same way. I know some people don't have any hobbies and all they do is work all the time. They got two or three jobs. Is anything wrong with work? No, the Bible says that we ought to work. It says if we don't work, we ought not eat. But listen, you don't need work all the time. Well, I got to make a living. No, you've got to die. And you need to trust God before that happens. So listen, we need to put some things off. We need to put off the sin. We need to put off the weights. But we need to put something else on also. You know what the Bible says? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. And the power of God to be winners. Amen. And how do we do that, preacher? By making up your mind right now. By being determined that you're going to run the race God's put before you. And then by dedicating yourself to that race. Because you know that the trophy that's at the end of the line, when you cross that finish line, is worth having. And what is it? Paul tells us there in Hebrews chapter 12. Run the race with patience. That word doesn't mean hanging around. It means with endurance. Looking unto Jesus, who's the author, which means the beginner, the instigator, and the finisher, the end of the line, of our faith. You know what the prize is, the victory is? Knowing Jesus. That's it. We live in a world that doesn't want to know Jesus, and so we'll be sure that none of this gets in the schoolhouse. And we'll do all that we can to get it out of the courthouse. Amen. Amen. I want to tell you something. The prize is knowing Jesus. Paul said in the book of Philippians, this is why I run, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. What's he saying? Listen, I'm determined, Corinthians, to do what I'm doing. And I'm dedicated to doing what I'm doing because I want to know Jesus. I don't just want to know I'm not going to hell. But I want to know Him in a real and a personal way. Folks, is that what you want this morning? Are you just satisfied with a handful of people having church every week or so? Huh? That's happening all over, neighbor. Churches where people don't even carry a Bible to church. Where they have 15 minutes of storytelling and a little bit of preaching and then they go to the house and that's the end of it. Neighbor, they won't ever win a race. They'll never win a battle. And they're not going to receive a crown when they get there. Amen. I want to tell you something, friends. The reward is worth the service. It's worth the service. Preacher, what I need to do, you need to sell out to God right here. Say, God, you saved me. I believe that. I know that for a fact. But God, I know also my life is occupied with many things. God, I need help to be in this race. So God, here I am. I give myself to you. You use me. And then whenever God shows you what He wants you to do, then you dedicate yourself, mind, soul, and body, to accomplishing and winning at what God has called you to do. Can you do that? Paul said, listen, I'm not out here wasting my time. I'm not out here doing what I want to do. I'm out here for a reason. I'm playing to win. Brother, I want to tell you something. The man that God saved on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. He says, henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not only just for me, but for everybody that's run the race with me. He didn't quit. He didn't fall out because he was determined and he was dedicated. Now I want to tell you, there's people who began the work with us at Shaw Road who began the race, but they fell out of the race. There are people in this church that began the race with us, but they fell out of the race. Let me tell you why. They weren't determined and they were not dedicated to the task that was before us. Amen. Now what about you? You see that competition we was talking about, the devil's going to do all he can to knock you out of the race. And some people it's easy to thump out. Least little old thing hurt their feelings. The preacher say something wrong with somebody else and the chances are I'm going to hurt feelings because I do most of the talking. That just makes natural sense, don't it? Then they'll be gone. Huh? Now, here's what I told you, the three messages. Prayer, preparing to win, playing to win, and then the proof of a win. Neighbor, I want to tell you something. You can fool me. You can fool this church. You can fool everybody around here. For a while. But eventually, everybody's going to know what you're made of. Why, preacher? Because of the way you run your race. If ain't nothing to you, you're going to fall out. You'll be gone. Listen, I want to tell you something. Paul said we need to run this thing to win. To win. Because there's a prize to be won. Get in with God and get her going. Amen. Our Father, thank you for this day.